Welcome to The Human Factor. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and today we're talking about real challenges and real wins behind building strong teams. You're watching Now Media Television. Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Human Factor, where we explore what truly moves people, teams, and organizations forward. I'm your host, Kim Diamond. Today, we're diving deep into some topics sharing the future of business leadership, one that sits at the intersection of agility, performance, and transformation. Our guest today is Paul Cotton. Paul has 4 decades of experience leading under pressure, from the British Army to executive boardrooms around the world. Paul has delivered over $900 million in strategic programs and specializing in helping organizations navigate complexity, accelerating their progress when momentum stalls. Today, he's here to help us understand the role of the interim executive and why they're becoming a strategic force across industries. So I'm excited to welcome Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Thank you.
Good.
Well, today I thought we would talk about the leaders. You know, we aren't really sure about interim executives at this point. That we hear about them, people are talking about them, but a lot of people are kind of confused, I think, about what their role is. Are they just a temporary gap filler, or are they really here to, you know, help provide some transformation? So I wanted to start our conversation with what you think is driving the rise of the interim executives in the recent years.
Sure. Let's start with a number, because I love to start with numbers. Over the last 5 years, the market for interim has grown 70%. That's a huge number. We'll get into why in a minute, but for another number to hang your hat on, by 2030, the global interim market is going to be around $12 billion. So it's massive and it's growing. And that's just interim. That doesn't factor in fractional. So you've got that on top as well. Mm-hmm. So if we look at really, you know, in business terms, what's changed and why interim is taking off, there's sort of 4 or 5 things. I think companies no longer have time for deep dive executive searches. They need results yesterday, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So there's a need to bring someone in fast, quick, categorically. The business environment's changed. I mean, it's way more volatile. You've got tech disruption, you've got supply chain shenanigans, you've got the economic downturns or fluctuations. We've now got to deal with tariffs. We've now got to deal with AI and the implications of what AI is going to do to business. So that requires a huge amount of flexibility. And it also requires a sort of a senior level agility as well. That, in a lot of cases, you won't find institutionalized or organic within an organization. You know, firms want top tier leadership experience without long-term overhead commitments. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll get into the numbers in terms of the duration that a C-level stays, but it's short. Mm-hmm. So you've got that disruption as well. So what you can do, you can parachute an interim executive into a sort of intense, time-fenced initiative, drop them in or drop a team of them in, let them do the work, and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
There's that benefit as well. And then I think, you know, there's becoming a bigger penalty in terms of leadership failure or delay as well. So, you know, the longer it takes to get an executive on board, the longer it takes them to assimilate and get up to speed, that's costing money. And then you've got the other aspect of it's somewhat of a crapshoot. You don't know whether they're going to be able to execute. You don't know whether there's going to be value erosion while you're in that dark period between onboarding, assimilation, and execution. And then I think lastly, I mean, interim executives offer a plug-in execute exit model. So it's something that a lot of companies are looking at. You know, it helps align the modern business cycles. You know, they're very intense, very, very fast. And especially around transformation and mergers, acquisitions, divestitures, where you've got this finite amount of time, this specific project that needs to be done, you know, that's where you can really help with placing an interim exec.
How do people distinguish between the consultant and the interim?
Interim, it's interesting. Consultants, they're going to basically go in, assess the situation, develop a solution, and typically they move on. Whereas an interim is going to come in and they're going to deliver a definitive piece of work. And they're looking at doing that in a categoric way and adding value to what they do. So it's much more intense. It's much more value driven. It's and a lot more intentional. Whereas a consultant will be looking at an opportunity and enhancing that opportunity. An interim exec will go in and focus on the job at hand.
Right. They'll help with the execution of it. They won't just give the overview of what could be done, should be done, and then move on. Like a consultant gives them, you know, a roadmap to follow, and but then departs. And then that's the, but if with you have an interim, then they're the person helping with the execution, right?
I mean, the consultant diagnoses and solutions. Quite often they'll try to deliver. And, you know, if you look at the success rate of transformations, there's a over a 70% failure rate. Yeah, it's big. Interims deliver outcomes expediently. I think that's the way to put it. So you've got the ones that are very strategic, that, you know, they want to define something, solution it, or diagnose something, solution it. And then the interim is going to go in very strategically, look at what needs to be done, do it, and get out of there. And leave the place in a better, leave a company in a better situation as well.
And do you notice that that's something that's more prevalent when you have private equity companies?
Most certainly. You know, private equity companies are on the clock. Think about that.
Right.
You know, they're
usually 5 years, maybe.
Not even that now. I mean, and, you know,
they're 3 to 5. Yeah, I guess. Right.
It's more like 2 to 3 these days. It's the timeline is reducing. You know, they're scared stiff of value erosion.
Yes.
You know, private equity companies operate on clock-based math. You know, they're looking every quarter. Every quarter there's a delay. That's a cost. You know, post acquisitions, I've been involved in a lot of acquisitions, and then that post acquisition period, you know, you've got transition services agreements, you've got a whole host of things that can cost you a small fortune if you don't deliver expediently. Then there's always, you know, the EBITDA improvement window is shrinking as well,
right?
You know, so that they've got this time fence math that they are focused on, and they just don't have time to bring in, you know, spend several months trying to find the right resource. Obviously, it's important to find the right resource, but to do it in an interim way, you know, and get them on the ground, get them delivering quickly, assess the situation, develop a solution, and deliver that solution.
So would you say that they bring them in for, you know, critical situations that need to be addressed while they look for the long-term individual to step into that role that we can have time to ramp, you know, get acclimated and ramp up?
I think it's twofold. I mean, there are discrete projects that need, or initiatives that need to be done, where they don't have the bandwidth or the capability to do it. And that's where a lot of transformation and project management type interim individuals come into play. Mm-hmm. Then you've got that other aspect where either, you know, in a transformation or in a merger and acquisition, particularly executives are exiting, mm-hmm. but the business isn't slowing down. Mm-hmm. So you need to bring in an executive, a CFO, a CRO, you know, and to fill that gap while they're looking at replacing it with a full-time employee. And the key mm-hmm. thing is, what that does is it helps them not make a decision in a hurry.
Right, right.
And it does allow them time. Mm-hmm. The decision. And mm-hmm. and in a lot of cases, what you'll find is that an interim will actually help them choose the right candidate. Mm-hmm. Because they're looking at the company from a far more objective perspective. Mm-hmm. As there's an outside-in lens. And they can look at where the company is going, what the culture is of the company, and you know, make an assessment that maybe the internal team wouldn't be as objective.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. I agree. I agree with that. Yes, absolutely. Well, do you think this trend is a permanent shift, or you know, and on how leadership operates?
Absolutely, it's permanent. I think, you know, what you've got is you've got a situation where we've got an aging population of executives that want to retire early. And that has a benefit as well, because you've got aging executives that want to retire early that will eventually realize they're bored of playing golf and fly fishing and want to get back into the workforce. So you've got an amazing group of very talented, you know, executives that, you know, want to contribute.
Right.
So I think, you know, is it a permanent shift? You know, yes. You know, companies want to increase function. They want to increase the value of their talent supply chain. And you can do that with interim by, you know, having the right capabilities, the right capacity at the right moment, and, you know, executing business needs when you need them. So,
right.
I hate to use the term, but it's often used. You parachute them in. They're like mm-hmm. the special forces. And woe betide us if we have to have special forces in business, but right. that's the definition that's used a lot.
Okay, yeah. Well, we're gonna keep talking. We're gonna take a quick break, but coming up next, we'll break down exactly how companies should use interim executives, because most of them are not necessarily doing it right. So stay with us.
We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television.
And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation. Welcome back to The Human Factor. What more insightful discussions like this? Stay connected to The Human Factor at all times. We're on Now Media TV, programming anytime, anywhere. Download the free Media TV app on Roku or iOS for bilingual and English content. You can also catch us on a podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. From leadership to business to culture and beyond, Now Media streaming 24/7 wherever you are. So welcome back to The Human Factor. We're here with our leadership expert, Paul Cotton. And now we're going to dive into the practical side and how organizations can actually engage the executives to drive outcomes rather than simply fill a gap. So Paul, I wanted to talk about how companies are struggling to understand and define the expectations and the structure of the interim executive. And sometimes I think that although the organization knows what their goal is for this role, I think that sometimes, and I mean at the highest level, other people in the organization are confused by what's actually happening, right? So there is that aspect as well. So they come in and, you know, the individuals that are support workforce, so to speak, they're mm-hmm. like, who is this person, right? How long will they be here type of thing as well. So there's a lot, there is that expectation and structure that I think is important that they address. So what is the right time to bring in an interim exec? We'll start there.
I think before it gets painful. seriously, it's getting better, but in far too many circumstances, interim execs are being brought in too late. So once, you know, an executive, once a C-suite says, look, you know, we've got to do something, that's the time to bring an interim exec in. You know, not after we've got a leadership obituary, but well before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, companies typically engage interims in sort of five scenarios, I think. So you've got leadership departure. You need to bring people in as soon as you can, preferably before the departure. Mm-hmm. So you can get that assimilation. M&A, so if it's any time after about 60 days after someone's left, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. So get them in as soon as you can. With M&A and divestitures, usually it's as soon as you can as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, an interim can help with a lot of the negotiations around transition service agreements and that sort of thing from an objective third eye perspective.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and then there's a whole range of things. You know, if you're looking at acceleration of growth and things like that, you need them in quickly. So I guess rather than ramble, get them in as soon as you can. As soon as you think you've got a problem, bring them in. Have a conversation with them. You know, see what their perspective is. You know, so I think you use them. Use interims as a leadership shock absorber, if that makes sense.
Oh yes, absolutely.
So protecting the enterprise's momentum, mm-hmm. you know, smoothing out the bumps during transitions and major non-typical initiatives.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. Why let that gap get wider, and then they're struggling to catch up, and it's then there's all kinds of cascading challenges that can create. So, well, what are the mistakes
about value creation? You know, you've got to mm-hmm. maintain value.
Right,
The longer you drag your feet, the harder it is to recoup.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, what kind of mistakes do you think companies are making when they're bringing or onboarding interims?
I think it's three big ones. There's a lot of mistakes, but I think the three big, in fact, we could fill this whole thing with mistakes, but there are three big ones. I think the first one is treating an interim like a visiting dignitary instead of someone that's going to come in and actually get things done. So, you know, limiting access to teams, limiting their authority, having them there just in interminable meetings. You know, I think the result of that, you're going to basically get a consultant who's allowed to park his car in the executive car park. That's mm-hmm. no good. I think the second one is vague mandates. So, you know, to bring in an interim exec and sit them down in the boardroom and say, we need you to stabilize things and make improvements where you see fit, isn't going to work. Before you bring someone in, you need to figure out what you need them to do. You know, that's like telling a surgeon, well, fix what you see.
Right.
That's not going to work. You need clarity. Clarity drives execution. give clear, focused, concise directions. And I think the third one, and this is very common, is a lack of sponsorship alignment. So, you know, you've got, you know, poor interim comes in and gets three versions of what success means.
Yes.
From three different board members. You know, alignment and collaboration of executives before arrival is mission critical. And a good interim will do that sniff test before ever committing to the contract. Because if you don't have that, you're probably not going to have a successful engagement.
Right. And then, because then you have to outline what success will be, right? How it will be measured based on, if you don't have that, then you're just wandering aimlessly.
So, I mean, in terms of what you need to do, there are three critical things. We're in threes today. So the first one is define the non-negotiables. So, you know, an example of that would be, we've got to stabilize the cash flow, I can show you, by X percent. You know, cut fulfillment times by X percent. You know, implement, and this is a more tactical approach, but even implementing decision cadence and meeting cadence for an interim engagement. Those are the non-negotiables. It's how to communicate, what are we doing, and, you know, what shouldn't we do? Set milestones, and they need to be time-based with stage gates. So sit down with the interim and say, all right, you know, for the first month, what are we going to be doing? Well, that typically is going to be diagnosis and alignment. So understanding the problem and getting all the key players to align and collaborate on what needs to be done. You know, and then you've got the next sort of time fence will be, you know, execution momentum. So in terms of, you know, how do we do it and what do we do? And getting to start delivering it. And then lastly, you've got to be able to sustain the results and transition the plan. So that knowledge sharing, that value harvesting is critical. So I think, in other words, basically what you need is early clarity. You need midterm impact, and you need a pull through and handover at the end. So that, right, that would give you the sort of, I think that was two, wasn't it? Yeah. And then the final one is align on measurable results.
Right. If you don't have that, then, like I said, you're just, you know, you're wasting time and these processes are not, you know, without cost as well. So you want to get the most you can from this relationship and in both regards. Right. And the person coming in can be frustrated as well, because they want to be effective. They want to have impact as soon as they possibly can, but without, you know, structured, you know, like you said, structured cadence and a collaborative environment, they're going to flounder.
Yeah. So,
right.
You know, I think, you've got to be able to sit down and say, all right, what is it we need? Do we need to do customer retention? You know, if it's a CRO interim, customer retention, obviously sales, things like that.
Right. Right.
You know, if it's a transformation interim, then it's all right, what are we transforming? What's the business rationale? Why do we do it? How are we going to do it? Are you capable of doing it? What do we need in order to get it complete? Those are the sort of imperatives we need to understand, and then get into the execution aspect of it, or the design and execution aspect of it.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Paul, this is, again, great information. I'm sure the audience is enjoying all of this guidance, but where can they connect with you if they want to reach out and you know, talk about this further?
At the moment, best place to go is through LinkedIn. And my site on LinkedIn. And that is, I have to look at it, it's obviously linkedin.com, Paul Cotton, all one word, 06.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, next up, everyone, thinking about becoming an interim yourself, Paul breaks out what it really takes. Don't go anywhere. Also, you can catch Now Media TV anytime on your Roku app. We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation. Hello, everyone. So we're continuing our segment with Paul Cotton. In this one, we're going to shift to the leaders, those that are watching that might be considering becoming an interim themselves. There is an appeal to that type of a position. Obviously, you have the freedom, the variety, and the impact. But reality requires a major mindset shift, adaptability, and strong personal branding. So many professionals think that interim work is simply consulting, but it demands more than that. There's more resilience, rapid assessment, skills, willingness to deliver. All of those things are very important when you want to step into this role. So we thought we'd talk to Paul about how they should go about this, how they should set themselves up for success in this type of a role. And we talked about mindset briefly. So that sounds like that's an important part of this shift.
No, it truly is. I think the biggest shift is accepting that you are going to be measured by results and not by your residency. You know, permanent leadership rewards tenure, relationship building, you know, it's and slow consensus, ironically. You know, whereas an interim leader, you're rewarded with speed, clarity, and measurable improvements. So it's you know, there is that change. And I think, you know, in terms of where you go with that, you always got to have it, you know, in your mind, you know, I'm here for a short time, and I will leave the business stronger than I found it. You know, you've got to have that as your mantra. Mm-hmm. So I think in terms of, you know, what the shifts is, it's you've got to be prepared to hit the ground running. You know, time, it's this truly is a case of time is money. So obviously do your due diligence, make sure that you don't take on jobs. You've got to be certain that you can deliver.
Right.
You can't be tentative. Mm-hmm. You know, so that takes a lot of guts to turn down roles. But if it's the wrong role, you've got to be honest with yourself and say, can I succeed? Can I leave the company stronger than I found it?
Right. So in doing so, they would need, you know, a person would need to sit down and kind of assess where they feel their strengths lie.
Yeah, you've got to define that. You know, and it define it with precision. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's no good saying I'm good at transformation and leadership. You know, say something along the lines of, you know, I can stabilize failing programs. I can restore executive confidence in X number of days. It needs to be tangible. It needs to be something that, you know, the C-suite can hang their hat on and say, all right, this guy knows what he's doing. You know, so I think the other thing you've got to do is build a market-ready portfolio. So have the tchotchkes that you need around sort of a, you know, one-page executive profile, sort of case studies. You don't need too many. You know, board ready messaging, because remember your target audience is going to be the C-suite.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, don't do as I say, you know, do as I preach, get yourself a website. I will get one.
Yes. We know it's in process. Yes.
need a word.
Right. Because like you said, branding and visibility and networking, you know, people in these types of environments, they're going to do their due diligence. So you should be prepared for them to go to look for that information.
And have solid references.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, exactly. You've got to have solid references that can talk to the performance benefits of employing you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And obviously, you know, don't forget the admin bit as well. You've got to get insurance, you need contracts, you need a billing platform, all that stuff.
Right.
You know, get an LLC or whatever, get your liability policies. Mm-hmm. You know, typically $1 million is enough.
Right. Yes, and then, business liability.
Mm-hmm. You know, decide on how you're going to get paid, which is fairly important. So you're going to go fixed fee, milestone, you're going to go hybrid and set your contracts up accordingly and also your accounting up accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think once you've got that, you've got the basis. And prepare emotionally. You know, you're not going to be part of the furniture within these companies. You know, you're very much a catalytic presence if you think about it.
You're right.
You're gonna shake things up.
Mm-hmm. Now,
you know, how you do that and how humble you are and how conscientious you are makes all the difference.
I think it's very important. You're right. You got to kind of check the ego a little bit when you step into this, because it's from a different lens now.
Very much.
Than when you were the CEO.
Yeah, you know, you've got to make hard decisions and you've got to have a C-suite that's going to back you up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're going to have to be prepared to go to the shop floor or the office floor and say, we back Paul.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's an interim, he has our full backing. That's mm-hmm. such a critical aspect. You know, so you've got to be able to make sure that the executives are fully behind you. And the way you do that is through confidence.
And I think that's what will separate people from, you know, a great intern to interim to an average, right? Is the confidence level. And like you said, setting themselves up for within organizations that they truly have, you know, some relative experience handling whatever the challenge task, you know, that they're asking about, you know, because they don't really, they have a team, but they don't, right? You're coming in as an interim with your expertise and you do have the support, but like you said, you're not part, you aren't part of the furniture, right? you're there as from where they come, right? When the CEO usually has a group underneath them that handles various tasks, where this person's got to kind of come in and hold all that, you know, think that mindset versus the delegation mindset. I guess that's one.
You know, I think, you know, what I'll say is if you need belonging, an interim life is not for you.
Right.
If you like independence and you like a challenge, a constant, you know, tsunami of challenges, then charge and take it on, because it'd be perfect.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's what someone needs to assess about themselves before stepping into it, you know, mm-hmm. outside of all the other components that they need to set up and structure to make it successful.
You know, mm-hmm. and it can be lonely, but it can also be highly rewarding. You mm-hmm. know, if you go in there, you know, you've got to win over the executives, and you've got to win them over very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then it doesn't become lonely anymore.
And you have some collaboration and some people to work with. Exactly.
And you know that you're all on the same hymn sheet and you're all aligned and there's consensus and you can move forward.
Right, right. Well, I think we'll move on to our next segment, and we're going to talk about the final piece of this puzzle, how companies must onboard and support interims to ensure that fast, meaningful impact. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Paul Cotton. We'll be right back with more stories, insights, and real-world strategies for leading with purpose. This is The Human Factor on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Kimberly Diamond, and you're watching The Human Factor on Now Media Television. Let's dive back into today's conversation. Welcome back, everyone. Don't miss a moment of this show or any of your Now Media favorites. Streaming live or on demand, just download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS. If you prefer audio, listen to our episodes anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. From leadership to breaking news and lifestyles, Now Media TV is here for you around the clock. Welcome back. This is our final segment, and we're going to look at the biggest difference maker, interim success, and the onboarding. How companies want fast results, but rarely prepare the environment. So today, Paul is going to talk to us about how organizations can set the interims up for impact from day one and what a strong finish might look like. So Paul, let's dive into this. People are not necessarily prepared for someone to come into this role. Mm-hmm. So what should they do?
Before an interim walks through the door, three things need to happen. And preferably these three things are memorialized in writing. They're not floating around in the ether. So the first thing is define the success statements. So what are you expecting this chap or this person to do or this team to do? So it's not broad themes. It needs to be very specific outcomes. What's the business rationale? What are the outcomes you expect? That could be reduced order to cash cycles by X number of days, could be, you know, increased forecast accuracy. It needs to be granular. Mm-hmm. Second thing you need to do is clarify the decision rights. So who owns what? Who owns the budget? Who owns the people changes? Who owns operational changes? You know, where does HR sit? Where does finance sit? Where does production sit? All those need to be identified, and you need to you need to brief people on what to expect. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, that saves so much time when the interim exec comes on. Because they're not wondering who the hell is this, for one thing.
Right.
And what's he going to do? It's all right. He's an ally. He's going to help us. And then, you know, you get much more of an arms open approach. Then I think, finally, provide an unvarnished truth pack. Don't gloss over it. Tell it as it is. If you've got problems, tell the guy or tell the person, because sooner or later they're going to find out. But if it's later, it's going to impact the project. So be honest with yourselves and be honest with your interim team.
Right.
You know, and understand where the real blockers are. You know, understand, you know, mm-hmm. if there's been a prior attempts, why it failed. Things like that need to be communicated. You know, mm-hmm. key stakeholders that may be a bit reticent or you know, roadblocks need to be identified, because a good interim will assess that and focus in on those things first, so it can clear the road for a faster sort of transition.
And then, so when an interim comes in, what do you suggest the organization has ready or for like the first week? Because I know sometimes it might come in and and there's no communication. People are still trying to discern what this person's going to do. And so week one should be a pretty impactful week with this person stepping in, wouldn't you think?
Week one, you need a detailed briefing pack. You need key meetings scheduled. You need to give the interim time to assimilate. You need access and availability. That's critical. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be, you know, if you want the guy or the person to get up and running quickly, they need to be able to sit down face to face with people and ask questions and validate. So, you know, I think good information, like we said, covering those three critical aspects, a briefing deck, almost like a project charter. So business rationale, you know, what the expectations are, what the goals are, and who's responsible for what. That's a good start.
And then when it comes to the communication part of it, because I look at it from a person who's not in the C-suite, right? How should leaders communicate that there's an interim, you know, in this role to the organization? So there's, you know, there's an understanding around what they're there for. And, you know, I think if people know, then they know that they're not going to be here for, that there's going to be an ultimately a permanent person, but this person's going to do so and so. So how is the best way? Do you think everyone in the organization should be aware of this, or should it be limited to leadership levels? What do you think there?
It depends on the scale of the project. If it's a large scale transformation, I would suggest that it's a top down, bottom up communication. So let everyone know that this person's coming in, what they're going to do, and how to work with them. If it's something like, you know, to do with finance or something like that, then it can be the finance team. So it just depends on the scale of the initiative, really.
Okay, that makes sense. Not everyone probably would even realize or need to know, but they would need to probably determine at what level that information gets transmitted to.
I mean, you know, if I'm in a company, I want to know that I can go where I need to go and people will know who I am. Mm-hmm. And they're not looking and going, oh, who's he? You know, they know why I'm there, and you know, that way there's no confusion, no consternation or concern.
Right. And I think that that's important for an organization to put into place. Yeah. So people aren't concerned. I mean, you know, transitions like that, you know, the rumors start to fly around and, you know, people start to get, you know, concerned and have, you know, and if you can nip that in the bud with what's actually happening and be transparent about it, then you're, those that are involved will feel much more stable and open, you know, and open in that, you know, in that regard too.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, how the leaders communicate is critical.
Mm-hmm. You know, agreed.
If they say, you know, we brought someone in temporary to keep things stable or fix things, not good optics.
No, I agree.
You brought them in to lead and they have full authority and, you know, they have decisions and the decisions carry weight of an executive sponsor. That's better.
Right.
You know, so it's being very, very emphatic about what it is this person's doing or these people are doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would a good closeout or handover look like at the end of this type of an assignment?
I think what you need to look at is obviously the job is complete. It's complete according to what the expectations were. That there is good knowledge transfer, that there is an opportunity to basically value harvest. So what I mean by that is it's the interim has gone from the initiative, but they can still be on call and still help, mm-hmm. you know, with transition and value harvesting and optimization of the process. So in terms of, you know, what a good transition is, I think, you know, there needs to be transition clarity. So who's going to take on what, you know, what risks remain, what behaviors must persist after the, mm-hmm. after the initiative, you know, great interns are remembered because the organization doesn't fall apart the day they leave.
You know, yes, exactly. Exactly. Know, right. You know, I guess that would probably be a sign of a successful situation there.
You know, your low performing interns leave a void. I think great ones leave stability, and the true elites are going to leave momentum.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it's definitely something that we're all engaged with now. I've worked with some currently, you know, some of my clients have some interim people in their leadership dynamics. And so it's interesting to speak with them and learn about what they're focused on in helping those organizations as they look for their long-term leader. You know, so I do agree with you. I think this is something that's here for ever going forward. I mean, we have a lot of individuals who are extremely skilled, like you mentioned, who may not want to be doing this full time, but want to lend their experience and expertise to organizations that need it for a window of time.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great way to support organizations and get them back to where they need to be and not have to rush that scenario, like you mentioned, finding someone to step in just because they're in a position where they must do it. And yeah. that always, you know, can often lead to a mishire challenge.
Yeah. So. Yeah, think about this. I mean, leadership is no longer a gap filler.
I would say that's a great way to put this. Leadership is no longer a gap filler.
It's a capability accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. You know. Well, Paul, we want to thank you for sharing these insights today. This was a wonderful show. I really loved diving into this because it is very prevalent right now. And there are people out there who are stepping into these roles daily. And I think this is going to help organizations understand how to best utilize this type of a role. And then individuals also understand their capabilities in this type of a role and what they can do. Okay. So, you know, knowing how to engage them, prepare them, interim careers, you know, mastering it, onboarding, all of those are very crucial to this transition and being successful. So I think we also want to share, again, your information with the audience so they know where to connect and get even, you know, if they want to talk with you further about these steps and these ways to approach this process, where can they reach you?
They can reach me on my LinkedIn page. Again, it's paulcottonall, all one word, 06. At LinkedIn, and I would be happy to help people and talk to them and advise them and, you know, just give people, if people are thinking about doing this, give me a call and we'll have a good old chat.
I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Paul. For everyone watching, remember this, leadership isn't about titles or permanent. It's about clarity. It's about courage. It's showing up fully wherever you're called. If your organization is facing complexity, or if you're personally standing at a crossroad, let today be the reminder that momentum comes from internal action. Thank you for joining us on The Human Factor. Don't forget, you can now watch Now Media on your Roku TV app anytime.